And today, this is our last Sunday on talking about provision for change. And I want to go through some scriptures about provision, but also about so much more. And in that, we're going to look through the Proverbs and look at different places. But what I want to talk to you about today is wisdom for provision. We know that God's our source, right? We know that God's given us everything, right? We know that He supplies well. And did you know that God's not broke? Right? God's not broke. But sometimes our hearts need to be open to what He wants to do. But look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. And it says, I, wisdom, and it's talking about the spirit of wisdom. It's talking about the spirit of God and spiritual wisdom. Dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, sound and sound wisdom. I understand and I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes. You don't need a raise on your job. You don't need to win the lottery. You don't need that car that you think you need. You don't need. What you need is me. What you need is wisdom. You need me. Come on. Come on. This is so awesome. Look again back up at. I love this. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. Prudence, there's a practical prudence that comes with wisdom, knowing what to do. But there's also discernment. I need to know what to do, but I need to know the discernment of how and where and when to use that discernment. Watch this. Let's go to Scripture, you all know this story, but in 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, and this is the story of Solomon, and when he's taken over for David, and he's coming into his own kingdom, and it's really interesting. It says in verse 7, it says, Now, O Lord my God, you have made me your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or to come in. See, he was a young teenage guy. And David, King David, that was my, this is the act that I have to follow, right? And he could pray for almost anything at that point, but he's from humility coming to the place, I need help. Verse 8 says, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you've chosen, a great people too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great of people of yours? See what he prayed, and many prayed. What did he pray for? Some translations will say wisdom. But others say discernment. And I like this. I need the ability to judge between right and wrong. I need to know when and when not. I need to know. I need to have this judging spirit. And that is crucial when we're talking about being a handler of God's provision. I need to have wisdom, God, in when and where and how and why to do what you've put in my hands to do. Let me just give you a couple of examples of that. We have in our church, we have a benevolence fund, right? And we use that benevolence fund for many different reasons. And we've been able to bless, I wish I had the figures because now after 30 years, it's quite a bit that we've been able, you know, through your generosity to give out. But I really feel like we're stewards of that money. And so I don't just give it out to anybody that calls in. And part of that wisdom is because I've been scammed before. I mean, there are scam artists who come to churches and they go all over the county with this sad story. Let me just give you one. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about provision, this is God's money that I have. It's what He's given to me. I need to know how to have wisdom and how to operate it. So this one guy comes in and he goes, oh, he says, you know, I've got to get to, you know, my wife was in California. I need to get down there. She's been in an accident and I've got this much money for the bus ticket, but I need so much more money for the bus ticket. And yeah, a really good tears, crocodile tears, just really good. You know, so I gave him some money. Then I found out that he'd been going to every church in the county. Same story. First of all, he's in trouble, right? I mean, that a person like that is in trouble because that will come back to bite him at some point, right? So another story was, this was years and years ago. See, I didn't have discernment. I just fell for the emotion of that person. Another person came in and almost the same story, but a little bit different. But when the person was pulling into the parking lot, in my spirit, right? This voice, that inner voice in my spirit, just, and when I say that, these thoughts came to my mind that weren't my thoughts. And it said, he's coming to ask you for money. Don't give him any. And I'm telling you, the story that he had would make you cry. And your heart normally would go out for that. But I'd gotten a word from the Lord, because the Lord gave me wisdom on how to deal with what God had given to me. And so before he came in, I knew what it was about. And sure enough, he'd asked for money, right? So here's what I'm saying. Even, and you know, church is supposed to be so far from this that you shouldn't even have to mention it. But you and I have all been in churches or meetings or where you know, heard on TV or radio where these pleas are coming for money, and they just give all of these weird things. And sometimes it's God, sometimes it's not God. But you have to have wisdom from the inside and discernment on the inside as to when to give, when not to give. Right? So every time a request is made to me, it's like, Lord, is this somebody that I should give to? And I can't close my heart off because I've been scammed from an opportunity for God to use me to be blessed. Are you with me? So Lord, give me, with my finances, give me wisdom. I need wisdom on how to handle. And I need not only wisdom on what to do, how to do, but I need the wisdom on when to do it, and more importantly, when not to do it. Let me give you another story. I was going to Bible school, and I went down there, and I had enough money to pay for my tuition for the whole year. Bless God, right? God gave me that money. That was going to be awesome. That way I didn't have to work or work as much, and I could, you know, go to more of the things were outside of school, like prayer school and different things, which was awesome. And I was able to do that for a few months. But I got there, and an offering was made. And then there was this testimony about how this guy gave, you know, like Bonnie's today, that God gave them put on their heart to give something that they didn't have the ability to give, and boy, God just blessed it, and their testimony was as they got back three or four more times than they gave, and boy, isn't that awesome? But in the offering, that was kind of brought up, and it was kind of like it appealed to your greed, and God, you know, oh, so I thought, man, I got this. I forget the figure, I'm just going to name $1,300. if I give that, watch this. I'm pretty good with math. So if I give that, and just like that other person gave that and got three times my, I'm going to be sitting pretty here. But here's the problem. God never spoke to me. And I didn't ask for his discernment on what I was supposed to do. And so what I did is I gave away his provision to meet the need for my tuition in an offering that he didn't tell me to give into. And so he was faithful, even in my greed in that instant. He was faithful to pay off the tuition, but it was once a month I had to come up with the bills. And there were some months that I didn't hardly eat to pay that bill, right? So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that in handling God's provision, we need wisdom. We need to have an understanding of what to do. But we also need an understanding of what not to do. We're going to read many scriptures in Proverbs, but one of the things that it talks about in Proverbs, it talks about wealth gained quickly leaves quickly. And why is that? Because you don't know how to handle it. You don't have the wisdom to handle it. That's why, you know, I don't play the lottery. I don't even know how much it is. And I'm not condemning anybody that does, because sometimes it's just fun to dream, right? You put a dollar, five, whatever, and you go, what if? And you'd be able to put that imagination to, but do you know the reality is that most people who win the lottery are broke within 10 years? Why is that? They have the money, they have the resources, but they don't have the wisdom on how to handle the resources. Right? And so provision that comes to us, we must at the same time ask for the wisdom on how to handle that provision. And it's not just money, it's everything. God puts on our heart that we're supposed to be teachers or singers or whatever. Okay, God, give me the wisdom. What first step do I need to take? Rather than trying to, get up here, God, teach me to work down here so that I can gain the wisdom to handle the position. Does that make sense? Come on. It's so good. Provision. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. We're just going to go through some things here and look at the wisdom that we have in this book, just in the Proverbs in different places, but in Proverbs, listen to this. This is so, so cool. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "My son, if you become a surety for your friend, you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger. And you are snared by the words of your mouth." Surety is kind of an old English word. It means cosigner. It says if you're a cosigner for somebody, you just got snared. And many of us could testify how we've signed for somebody else. Right? Somebody comes up and says, "Listen, I need a new car. And I've got this great job and I'll be able to pay the payments, but I haven't had work for a while and I'm kind of, behind. I need somebody to co-sign on my loan. Would you co-sign for me?" And, your big heart says, well, I can do that. I can trust you. I can do that. Well, do you know what happens if they don't pay? The bank comes to you and you have to pay or your credit goes through the toilet. And the Bible is talking about don't do that. Don't do that. In fact, I'll just go further. If you're going to loan money to somebody, first of all, you're not a banker. Hello? And you don't have the wisdom to do it. So if you're going to loan somebody, here's the attitude that you have to give it with. Here's the money. You've agreed to pay it back to me, and I appreciate that. You don't say this with your mouth, but this has to be your heart, right? This has to be your heart. Here we have this agreement. Here's the money. But I am not going to hold you accountable to that from the standpoint that my heart is going to be tied to your heart with that money. In other words, I want you to pay it. The honorable thing is to pay it back. But if you don't, I'm willing to let it go. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, that seems kind of dumb. Well, it can be dumb if you don't have the wisdom of God on what you're doing. You hear what I'm saying? So provision for wisdom, and the Bible says don't do that. Listen to what it says. This is so cool. Verse 2, it says, you're snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. You have come into the hand of your friend. Go humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself from gazelle, the hand of the hunter, and like the bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, watch this. You should never let money be something that comes between you and somebody that you love. I heard a wise man said somebody was asking, well, you know, my grandmother wants to lend us, you know, this money for a down payment on our house. And he said, don't do it. Now again, I'm not telling you not to do that, but don't do it. He said, why wouldn't I do that? She's offering this to us and we can get the house. I would rather, he said, you believe God and work another year or two and save up that money, because here's what's going to happen. That $10,000 is going to be at the Thanksgiving dinner. It's going to be at the Christmas dinner. It's going to be at the Easter dinner. It's always going to be there between you. Right? In other words, we need to hear from God on what we're doing with our finances and how we're operating in our finances. Look at we're still in 6. Go to verse 6. We're going to like this one, right? It says, go to the ants, you sluggard. You know what a sluggard is? Lazy. Lazy person. Go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain or overseer or ruler provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Will you sleep? Will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. What's this saying? In wisdom for provision, we need to be diligent to do what our hands are offered to do. In fact, I think we do a disservice. Now, I'm not saying all the time there are needs, but any time that you give somebody something for nothing, in other words, you don't have to earn this, here it is. If it's a family member gift, that's great. But if it's your habit to give without them giving something back in return, it causes them to have an entitlement mentality, and their source becomes you and not God that put it in, right? And so what does this mean? This means, watch this, we have to be busy doing what God calls us to do. The Proverbs has many, we might look at a couple more, but many places where it talks about the lazy person. One place it says that the lazy person is so bad that he won't even lift his hand off of his belly to put mouth to his food, or the food to his mouth. That's pretty lazy, right? But laziness should not be tolerated. And especially, watch this, when it comes to our kids. We grew up in a society, right? I'm old, right? And so I was born in 1953. Old. But I remember when we started getting commercials on TVs about these new appliances. And the new appliances were going to make life so easy. You know, you'd have this new vacuum cleaner, and we got some that are robots now. We've got, you know, all of these things that are supposed to make life easier. I don't think life is necessarily supposed to be easy. Your years just is lazy. It's not helping you. It's hurting you. It's hurting you. It's hurting you. And again, I think it's very important that we figure that out and just go, okay, I may not be able to do everything that I need to do, but what can I do? What can I do? And again, wisdom, Lord, show me what to do. Show me how to do it. But don't let anybody talk you out of what you can and cannot do. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 says, there's one who scatters yet increases more, and there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Come on. God loves someone who is generous. God, if we're stingy to the point of, I've got to hoard, and we don't give what God puts in our heart to give, even what we have will become moldy. Have you ever stored something thinking, boy, I'm just going to store this up and it's going to be great, and you go back to look at it and it's moldy? Right? What a waste that is. Here's what I'm saying. Wisdom needs to be involved because there's prudence in storing for the future. There's nothing wrong with putting some food aside, doing whatever. There's nothing wrong necessarily with that. But we need to have the wisdom on when to sow, but when to save. Are you with me? We need to have wisdom on when to sow, but also when to save. Because again, remember in our teaching earlier, it was like God always wants us to multiply. So you go to the car lot, and the salesmen, they're just helpful people. They're out for your good, right? They come to you and they say, we can get that, but you would look so much better in this. And we've looked at your records, and we, by your bank and what you make and whatever, you can afford this. It's only going to take you 15 years to pay it off. Right? And it won't be running at that time, but you can afford, wouldn't this be nice? See, you have to have wisdom. And go, no, wait a minute. I know what God has put on my heart to do, and that's what I'm going to do. There are some people who will tell you you should never borrow. And I think that's a lofty position to be in, if you can. But sometimes, it's wise to borrow. So again, you need to have God's discernment. God, give me a spirit of discernment where my finances are concerned, where my provision is, right? But make me generous. In Proverbs 13, verse 4, it says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of a diligent shall be made rich. Watch this. If You hear somebody talking about a dream. I want to do so. I want to be the first man on the moon. Oh, this is ridiculous. But I want to be the person on the moon. I want to build the first call. I want to be this. And yet they have this dream. But then they're not talking about the steps that they're making to get to that dream. It's just wishful. It's just fantasy, right? What we need to do is to have a goal, but we also need to have the path to get to that goal. Steps that we're taking to get to that goal. I want to be a millionaire, if that was your goal. I want to be a millionaire. God has put me that I can be a big giver. I need to be a millionaire. Awesome. But right now, you're only making $15,000 a year. Hello? What are you going to do to propel that dream? And God can give you ways to invest and do different things. But the real thing is, Lord, teach me how to handle what I have so that I can get to where I'm going. That takes wisdom. It takes discernment. It takes not only that, it takes me to be diligent every day to working toward the goal that God has put in my heart. I need to have diligence. What is diligence? Diligence is getting up in the morning when you don't want to. Diligence is working when it doesn't seem to be working. You go at it a different way. Diligent means every day in every way, I'm going to get where God wants me to be. How many have ever said, you know, I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to develop my prayer life. I'm going to, you know, and that's really great. But what are you doing tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock? And then Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday morning, it's on and on and on. If we want to get to the goal to have more praise in our life, then we have to be diligently doing it and not slothful about doing it. Are you listening to me? It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to have a goal and I'm going to take the steps that are necessary to reach that goal. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says this. Charles is not up there. Where at? 13:11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. This is so profound. This is so profound. Have you ever known businessmen who are less than honest? You know, come on. That wealth will not last. It might for a short term, but it will not last. And actually, they have to sleep at night with their dishonesty. But he who gathers by labor will increase. In other words, do things the right way and not the wrong way. Do things the right way and not the wrong way. Can I just give you an example of that? Say that you have I'm a guy, right? You have a classic car. And you know what the value of that car is. But you know somebody that really wants that car. So you think, they want it so bad, I can get 50% more than it's worth from that person. Bless God, and I'll be blessed. You're actually dishonest in what you're doing. You'd be better off to take what it's worth and put that in the hands of God than being dishonest and you know, messing somebody over. Right? You know what's right. Do what's right. And then God will bless your doing. I love this one. Where there no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. What does that mean? That means that when you have ox, you got to clean up after them. But if you don't have any ox, you don't have to clean anything up. But if you don't clean anything up, you don't have the ox. In life, some things are not always clean. Some things are work. But if you'll put in the work, you'll get the result. But if you don't put in the work, you're not going to get the increase. Hallelujah. Right. Everybody wants a clean car, but not everybody wants to clean the car. If you want a clean car, guess what? You got to clean the car. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's kind of like, Lord, help me to be that person that takes care of what you've given to me. Help me to be that person who's willing to put in the work to do what you want me to do. And quit allowing me. And now I'm talking to myself. Quit allowing me to be lazy in what you've put before me. Somebody said this, and I think it's great. The thing that you should do that you don't want to do, do now. Do now. Why? Because the thing that you don't want to do is oftentimes the thing that you procrastinate doing, and it never gets done. So in other words, this is what I feel like God wants me to do to go to the next level. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it right now so that I don't put it off. Talking about wisdom on, you know, for us growing, and this not just with finances, but with everything in our lives. Lord, sometimes it hurts to discipline my flesh. I don't like the process, but I really want the results. Well, you're not going to get the results without the process. So sometimes you need a pooper scooper. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let's look at verse 23, I believe. In all labor there's profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. What is this saying? I'll just give it to you in Bruce lingo. Quit talking about it and do it. Another quote, I don't know who said this first, but, you know, shut up or put up. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Because if you want something done, don't show me or tell me about all you're going to do. Do it. Do it. Do it. I've had many people in my life, and I've been one myself where it's like, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The New Year's resolutions are like that. Boy, this is what I'm going to do. And it's like, well, don't tell me about it. Do it. Because if you do it, I'll see the results of it. And so, again, wisdom on how to provide and our provision on how to take care of our provision, wisdom in operating in it. I'm way behind. It's okay. Let's go to Proverbs 21, verses 5 and 6. Listen, the plans of the diligent lead to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Getting treasure by a lying tongue is fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Go back to verse 5. That's so good. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. The plans, the executed plans lead to plenty. Sometimes it's like, I think this would be a good business to get into, right? And so you go, okay, I'm going to be into business for myself. But you don't spend time figuring out, A, how to build a business, what it costs to do a business, where the right place to do the business is, and then you're going to lead to failure. But if you're diligent in putting the plan into it, say, okay, God, you want me to do this. What's my first step? What do I need second? What do I need third? And then God will give you the resources to put that plan into action, and it'll succeed. Come on, so good. So good. All right, we're going to close with this. Go to 24, verses 30 through 34. Charles left me again. I'll get to it. No, it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry. 24. Let me read it to you. I'll do it the old way. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all the overgrown, grown with thorns. And the surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. In other words, it's kind of like we need to be diligent in doing what God called us to do and not be slumbering and not resting and not, well, you know, I'll do it on Thursday, but I'm going to sleep in tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. No, it's time for us to get up. It's time for us to start doing what we can do. If God wants us to, for instance, He wants... And I'll just give you an example. If He wants you to go on a missions trip and you're going to go to Uganda and you know there's going to be a lot of walking involved, but you get worn out walking from your couch to the refrigerator. Well, then you better start today walking from the couch to the mailbox. And then the next day, the mail, you know, down the road a little bit, and then back, and then back, and then back, and then back, and then back. So when the opportunity is at full place, you're ready to do what He's called you to do. Right? And that's true for anything. God's called me to, you know, He's going to give me a ministry of power. I'm going to move in the gifts of the Spirit and operate in the things of God. And we're going to see miracles happen. And we're going to see all of that. Great. How much time are you praying in the Spirit every day? And how much time are you listening to the Spirit of God so that you have discernment on what to say, when to say, how to say, in order for God to use you in that situation? See, what I'm talking about is provision for change. But provision for change comes out of obedience, diligence, and it comes by our acquiring the wisdom and the discernment of when to and when not to. Did y'all get anything this morning? It might have hurt a little bit, but that's okay. But what are we going to do about it? Yeah. Oh, Pastor, that was good. That's great. But what are you going to do about it? Oh, Pastor, boy, the word was great today. Okay, but how are you going to apply it? And when I say that, I'm saying it to me. That's right. Right? I've said that to me all year long, and I've seen changes in me. I've seen changes in my life. I've seen changes, but change isn't going to come unless we're diligent and we're prudent, we're wise, and we're discerning. Come on, God wants that in your heart and in your life. And then get up and get going. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word today. I thank You that out of the abundance of our hearts, we trust You. And Lord, we want to give you the first fruits of everything that we do. So that means our time, that means our effort, that means our thoughts, that means our praise, that means everything. So today, Lord, I thank you. I believe, Lord, with all my heart that everybody that's listening to me at this moment, that you put something in their heart to do. It may be to pray. It may be to witness. It may be to read your word more. It may be something for increase. I thank you, God, for that. I thank you for me for that. I thank you that you never quit talking to me about improving, about growing. And Lord, I pray that every person that's listening to me, whether it's online or in this room, Lord, that you're going to give us and remind us of this moment so that we will fulfill the things that you have called us to. We're not going to be the same next year as we are right now. We're going to grow individually. We're going to grow corporately. And Lord, we just thank you for your provision in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If I could have the worship team come up. There'll be people up here to pray for you if you have prayer needs. God is doing some awesome things. Hallelujah. I know last week there were several people who were touched by the Lord and that God touched you and blessed you and healed you. And he's going to do the same thing this morning in Jesus' name.